So Rav Moshe says, "Vinei l'anius dati, Rabbi Trebek doesn't get any better than the Chassam Sofer. Tam zeh dachuk tuva."
Pretty good person to be compared to.
Yeah, though, not bad. Not bad. The kevan shaget puzzle, v'hi adayin ishto, my tamlo tu chal hitcharet v'lo ratzos the kabel get me mana. V'chi yesh eze iser v'eze avlo melis charet migereshin, sh'neime the b'chi agavna lo takun. So Rav Moshe goes again and he says, first principles. Hetem Rabbanim, he said, what's going on here? One rabbi can give a heter. Here he says, what's going on here? Why can't people change their minds?
Is this really a question of Rabbi Trebnik or on the Ramah?
It's a question of the whole halacha. He says, Rabbi Trebnik is working on this very... Rabbi Trebnik is working on the way I explained it to you, very pasha, which is, you waived your Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. What? If a woman says, are you going to tell me that, you know... that in 1955, a woman said to her husband, I wish you would divorce me. And then he shows up in court 20 years later and wants to divorce her. And she says, no. And he says, well, ha, 20 years ago, you waived your Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom rights. What? There's no such thing as waiving Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom rights.
Rav Moshe is still not going to need to explain the Ramah that says that there are cases where you can do that.
Yes. Okay. So Rav Moshe, and now we're going to use the parody, says, you know what? You can explain this in... two different ways.
Oh. That's familiar.
Okay. Someone want to volunteer to read? Go ahead, Josh.
I think I had a very short tenure.
Yes, you did.
I'm not sure if it was important. El Yishtar Shnei Ofanim. Echad. Duhu, rak beget, she'enu bata legamre, el Yishbo is psul hatzricha get acher latira la'alma. Avala ba'ala, he gam kena sura blo kidushin acherin. Okay, this is like some interesting...
So what's this for? So
some
for
interesting like half gerush.
It's a get that creates a suffix.
Or, your, yeah, or
so
like...
So if you want to move in either direction, you have to remove the suffix. So if you want to... it can't count as a real divorce until you give a kasher get. And it can't count as still married unless you do another kiddush.
Exactly.
Which also implies that he thinks that the Ramah wouldn't apply in a case where it's like a get that was so badly messed up that it's not a get.
Yes. It's only a get, it's only a get that is puzzle, or not a get batil, right? It's not a chas b'alma. It's just, right? So that's the first svara is.
Says, yeah, that get sheino batil legamre, el yishbo is a psul.
That's right. Right? That's his first rationale is, that really the reason that in the Ramah's rationale is that if you create a situation where you don't really have a wife, right? Because you'd have to remarry her in order to be married to her,
right?
So then you can megarish her bal karcha, right? She can't leave you in the twilight zone.
You can't leave her in the twilight zone.
That's, well, whether she could force you, we'd also be kofa yulu garish. Uh-huh. In such circumstances, right? And that would be an interesting egalitarian way of framing. Any situation where we would be kofa him to be megar, sure, we would write, we're matir the cherem ben agersha.
I would hope.
Okay, good. What's open bet?
I'm glad we're skipping. Dirak calls man shechoshevet shehim megaresh she yachol lizrok la get acher kasher shalomidata. So she wasn't there in Beit Din when we figured out that like she wasn't actually divorced. Why? De'enu mechuyav lehadla shaget harishon pasul ulishola intikabel get acher kevan de'enu mechadesh la benetinato la get acher kefi idiata. For her, as far as she knows, this is just a continuation of the same. Why? Lefi machshavata shaget harishon kasher.
Okay, so what's the second rationale? Is that it's not a waiver, but...
she never knew that there was a problem with the first get.
So she really believes herself, to be divorced.
Yeah.
So when we say you can megarish her bal korcha, what does that really mean?
It means you don't stop and ask her. You don't stop, explain the whole situation to her. And ask her.
So it doesn't mean you can divorce her
like
against her will.
In this situation.
So it doesn't mean you can divorce her against her will. It means you can divorce her without her
knowledge.
Without her knowledge.
By telling her that the original one was puzzle and it's only the second one that's kasher.
That's right.
If she's been living such that it was kasher, then you don't have to make her any the wiser.
That's right.
It's without her expresses something like, I wish I weren't divorced right now, but I know that I am divorced, so oh well.
No, but that's great theoretical. That's great theoretical knowledge, but this is like without her dot.
That's right, right? Really, the only heter is, right, Balkarcha and below data are the same thing. Right,
yeah. Gershom did, this is below data. Like, she has no awareness of the situation as it's proceeding.
So the head of
and Beit Din is going to go ahead and do that.
But head of Meravana, Ramoji gave two reasons. Here, he's giving two Okimtos.
He's giving two Okimtos for the rule.
Right.
Right. One is, yes, that's right, that's correct. The Okimtos lead to rationales, but yes, that's correct. Okay, so now we have our two ways. So,
question.
Skip. Yes.
In general, with let's say Rabbeinu Gershom had never been enacted.
Uh-huh.
So we still wouldn't let it get without her knowledge. Or we do let it get without her. Does she still need to know about the get?
She needs to find out that she's been divorced.
So she still needs to know about it even if she's not happy about it.
Yes.
Okay. Because but so she these doesn't two have things to... are somewhat independent of each other.
Yes.
You can have a divorce with one. Like, meaning, even before we're talking about Rabbeinu Gershom, a get below data still wouldn't work.
Yes.
And he's adding a Baal Korcha, that means against her will, but now we're making the Ukimta that in the Ramah, Baal Korcha means against her will. So it's sort of the Baal Korcha.
No, the other way around. You always require her knowledge that she's divorced. We don't require her knowledge that in advance that she's being divorced. The case of Gemara is you can give a woman a document and saying, look, take this Shtar Chov. And then she takes it. You say, ha, it's your get.
Okay. But you can't just say, like, oh, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah.
You can't just say, oh, by, like, let's say you.
Did we take pictures?
You took pictures.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
let's say you give her a get and don't tell her it's a get, and you can't say, like, oh, by the way, you've been divorced for a week, and now you've been doing, like, bad things for a week or something. Like,
well, that would be cheap, but...
that would work.
But no, she only divorced at the moment she finds out.
Right. Or I guess the question... So, not from the moment she gets the get, but from the moment she finds out?
Yes, I believe so.
So, like, the get you... So, like, let's say she had done, like, within that week she's not divorced yet, in between when you gave her the get and when she found out that was the get that
right.
you gave her.
I think that's right.
I mean, we still need some sort of da'at that she knows what's going on, even if she...
But after the fact.
Right.
At the moment you give her the get, she doesn't have to know that she's being divorced. She has to know that she has been divorced, because otherwise that's cheating, right? Because then you can make up your wife and make all her subsequent kids mamzerim.
So she's divorced.
If you could... Ah, it's the other way around, right?
Yeah.
No, it's the other way around. So...
Isn't this a case where like a woman thinks she isn't divorced and does averot, and then it turns out she was divorced, and then like question is like what?
Well, in this case, she thinks she's divorced, and so she goes off. Or this is a case where she thinks she's divorced, and she's not really divorced. So we're going to help her by making her actually divorced.
Okay.
But we couldn't say tell her you're not really divorced, and she might say, "Oh, good, I don't want to be divorced."
Right.
We just don't make the husband take that chance.
I think really my question here is that the Ramah is kind of going on Rabbeinu Gershom, but I feel like it's the flip of the Rabbeinu Gershom case. Because the Rabbeinu Gershom case, what the Rabbeinu Gershom case isn't adding the knowledge of is she divorced or not, it's adding the is she happy about it or not. And here it's she's lacking the knowledge part. I think that's my question.
But I think what's really going on is he's saying is that ordinarily you have to make sure that your wife is happy. And all the Ramah, and his second version is all the Ramah is saying is, if right now she believes she's divorced, you don't have to go about again making sure that she wants to get divorced. Just divorce her. Throw a get at her.
So really, I guess my question is like, let's say you didn't have Takana Rabbeinu Gershom, would this halacha of the Ramah still make sense?
It would be obvious because you didn't. Right, it would be no. The fact that you gave her a puzzle get wouldn't matter. You could always before the Kanar Gershom, except for Josh's Nodibuta, you could always walk into your
just not Lady Shalia.
Walk up to your wife and say, right, throw a get at her and say, "Ha, you're divorced."
Right.
So basically, the Ramah's
and what you had done.
The Ramah's statement would still be true. It just wouldn't be a chiddush.
Yes.
And now that we have Rabbeinu Gershom, it's a chiddush.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. The Noda Yehuda says it's a bad thing, so you couldn't do it all Yiddish Shalach.
Okay, so the end of this tshuva, Rav Moshe says, right, if you turn to page 32, he says, the outcome, he goes for these two options. He says, but the outcome for him, right, he says, El tam hu kidu bi'arti b'shnei ha'ofanim, right, the rationale, the Rama is one of those two things, either that she's asurlo, or that she doesn't know that, she really believes herself already to be divorced. So if she is divorced civilly, so the Rama's thing doesn't work, and you can't be megarish bal korcha. But he says, but if she's gone to the effort, right, if she went to the effort of getting divorced civilly, and she doesn't want to go back to her husband, and she doesn't want to receive a get. So it's not that her change of heart is not the result of a desire for reconciliation, but rather a desire to blackmail. Right, because there's two grounds, right? Two ways you can change your mind. So if all she wants is blackmail, yesh makam lomar bisvara, you could say rationally the bechiyai gavna lo gazer agon, the lo tikein ela kishi rotze lios ishto velo kishaina rotze. So he says, you, Rabbi Trebnik, came up with this very clever idea that if she's nisgarsha berakos, she has waived the chayim de ben Gershom. No, you don't need to say it's a waiver. Let's just say Rabbi Gershom, why would Rabbi Gershom make a gzera that you can't divorce her against her will when she doesn't want to be married to you? Right? The purpose, the assumption here is that why did Rabbi Gershom make the gzera? Because he didn't want women to be divorced against their will. But this woman has gone out of her way to get divorced. It's not that she waived the cherem. There never was a cherem. Okay, now he comes up with something amazing, though. However, Avalashon harush b'chlal mem bet shuvah alafuvah b'choshim mishpat simanayin zayin siv katan gimel sh'rabbeinu gershom tikein lehashvut koach ha'isha lekoach ha'ish. Rabbeinu Gershom didn't make the takana to keep women from being divorced against their will. He made the takana to create a balance of power. Kimo sha'ish ena motzi el irtzono, kacha isha ena miskareshet el irtzono. Mashmam sha'af b'chi ha'gavna eni yachal agarish b'gal bal korcha, kimo sha'ish ena motzi el irtzono. So he says, according to the Rush's rationale, none of this works. So that's an amazing thing. So all of a sudden, Rav Moshe puts in as standard poll that you have all sorts of really good rationales to be matra that Rabbeinu Gershom, but the bottom line is they don't work because they fail to create egalitarianism. And the only underlying question you can ask in the end is the only thing you can ask in the end is, did it create parity or not parity? So that just, right, different worlds. Totally different worlds. So let's watch now. We have two truths of Rav Moshe. Right? So one of them, Rav Moshe says, the only issue, bottom line, is do we want this couple to remain married, or do we not want this couple to remain married? If we want the couple to remain married, then we will require 100 rabbanim, and if we don't want the couple to remain married, we won't require many rabbanim, but sometimes we will anyway because of public opinion. Now Rav Moshe is about bal korcha. The question is, are we creating a situation of equality between men and women or not? And if we're not creating a situation, right, and any time we can say that, yes, right, there's lots of good reason Rabbeinu Gershom wouldn't make this gzera on public policy grounds, but it wouldn't end up equating men and women. Doesn't work. Yes.
He might not be seeing that the rationale was to create equality. He might be seeing that the mechanism was by creating equality.
Okay, but he thinks that mechanism applies. Even in circumstances you might think there's a good reason not to create equality. like, this woman wants to be divorced in our coast, so, right? So who wants, right? So we don't know, right? We're stuck halachically that the man can be ma'agin the woman. But we're not stuck halachically. We could prevent the woman from being ma'agin the man. But no, we can't, because Rabbi Nagersha made it equal. Right, that's a huge thing. Now, you'll tell me, but Rav Moshe, this is not a chiddush of Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe just got it from the Rush, right? He's quoting the Rush. So this is already true in the right in the 14th century. So why am I looking at this as this crazy 20th century edition? It's just straightforward in the Rush. So now I want to take a look at the Rush, which is on page 33.
33.
Okay, so pick. The Rush is talking about a case of a man who found out about a woman's illness. About a woman's mum of some sort, physical incapacity of some sort, that he thinks is both disgusting to him and makes intimate relations risky.
What kind of risk?
Don't know. He says gam sakana yesh bedavar.
Okay.
I don't know what the specific claim is. Nichpet. I don't know what nichpet is here. And the problem is...
This is in the Rush?
It's in the Rush, yeah.
Okay.
There we are, right? And he wants to give her a divorce, and he wants to give her everything he has, but everything he has isn't equal to the her ksuba. He's poor. So he can't divorce her by giving her a ksuba. And he can't be megarish her. He doesn't want to be megarish her bal karcha. And she, by the way, is claiming her marital rights. So pick it up at the paragraph that begins v'ata. Second one, he says, v'ata shetikin hagon rabbi negershim zal she'en legarsha bal karcha. Echi tachin she'is chayev l'sher k'sus onos. The Rosh says, how could it possibly be that the consequence of not being able to megarish her bal karcha is that if she refuses a get, he has to pay for her? So then women would have more power than men, says the Rush. If women could refuse a get and still get supported. Right? Men, if they refuse a get, so they have to pay women. But women, if they refuse a get, they get supported. So Rabbi Nagersha really mean to create a situation where women had more power than men? Right, so he said, going on, he says, Ilu nolad mumze be'ish. Right, if a man developed this kind of blemish, ain anu omrin yichafu lios etzla, elakofin oso lahotzi v'tein ksuba. Right, so if the man develops such a thing, we force him to divorce and to pay the ksuba.
This weird disease.
V'im nolad b'isha yichafu lios etzla lefarnasa. But if the woman gets this kind of thing, then we compel him to stay married to her, and to pay her. What sense does that make? Right, hashta be'ishin emotziel ritzono kofin oso lahotzi v'tein ksuba nol d'mamumin. So if the man d'oraisa, who requires consent to divorce, nonetheless can be forced to divorce and pay a ketuba if he gets mumin, so isha shemishgereshes bal korcha, so a woman who d'oraisa can get divorced against her will, lo kol shekei? Can't be. Right, so the Rush's party premise is it can't be that Rabbi Nagersha made women stronger than men. Elish Rabbi Nagersha asa geder l'davar. V'chilav kal v'chomer shal alta alibo al kayotzi b'zeh la'agen ha'ish levat lo impira v'yiruvia. Could you imagine Rabbi Nagersha trying to give a woman the power to be ma'agen a wife?
Husband,
sorry. Elavada yirgashena v'yitin l'ksubasa. Kikulei hai lo yiv v'tzitakenosa v'koach ha'ish. So certainly, in cases like this, Rabbi Nagersha really just didn't mean you can't be megarish bal korcha. In such cases, certainly you can be megarish bal korcha. Ach, ki ra hador parutz, umezalzlin bivnos Yisrael, here's the Chassam Sofer, v'tikein lehashvos koach ha'ish ala koach ha'ish, kemo sha'ish enemotzi el ritzono, kach ha'ish enem skereshes el ritzono. Ava lo yitachin klal omar b'mokom sha'ish kofin lehotzi, lo yigarshena bal korcha. So the Rush's language is really, God forbid that women should ever have more power than men. Meaning, God forbid that women should ever right? So just like men, whenever they are unjustly being ma'agin their wives, the Beit Din will force them to divorce. So too, whenever women are being unjustly ma'agin their husbands, we will allow the husband to be megarish or bal korcha. So now you watch, right? There's a move there. Because a really perfectly egalitarian system should be, just like whenever a husband is unjustly ma'agin a wife, the Beit Din forces the husband to divorce her. So too, whenever a wife is ma'agin the husband, the Beit Din forces the wife to accept the get. But the Rush doesn't say that. And watch what he said. The Rush says is, just like every time the husband is unjustly ma'agin the wife, the Beit Din forces the husband to give the wife a divorce. So too, whenever the wife is unjustly ma'agin the husband, the Beit Din allows the husband to divorce her against her will.
It might just be that we create as much hashiva as possible without violating Yisurim of lo Yosef and Yosef.
I guess really, what's the practical difference between those two?
The practical difference is, and this is, what about a world where Beit Din can't force anybody? So in the Rush's world, right, you can't force anybody, so women are stuck as agunot because Beit Din can't force the husband, but men are not, because the husband Beit Din can authorize the husband to divorce her against her will. But in Rav Moshe's world, they're both stuck. Right, so that's the fundamental difference between Rav Moshe. In a world where the Beit Din has compulsory authority, it won't make a difference because the Beit Din will compel Rav Moshe will certainly compel the wife in this case, just like it would compel the husband. But the Rush is willing to say that the way we create the Rush's whole goal is we can't make women more powerful than men, and therefore, right, his goal is not to create equality. His goal is to prevent women from being more powerful than men. So Rabbi Nageshu made a takana, but that takana, it's not that the purpose of that takana was to make men equal to women. The purpose of that takana was to prevent a certain kind of imbalance. But Rav Moshe says, no, Rabbi Nageshu's purpose in making this takana was to create equality. And even though that yields the perverse result, that now there are men stuck where they shouldn't be, nonetheless, that's the outcome.
Do we have anything suggesting that Beis Din would ever have forced women to accept Gittin?
We take away their money. Right, that's the whole thing, Mashin and Lamaritis. That's what we do, we take away their ksuba. And they starve.
So in other words, passive forcing.
Right, what would we have done in a case where...
We would never administer, actual...
It's a fair question, I don't know. I don't know, we prevent her from getting married. I'm not sure they imagined women who would rather be nuns than give their husband a gittin. Because as soon as they go do something else, then she's a meredith, and we can call her... She's a mumeret, or a zana.
There's potentially surim deraisa to deal with. If we're going to take a takana, fayram, whatever, and we're going to use that as an excuse to administer corporal punishment, we might be over yisurim deraisa.
But makas mardus, what's the big deal?
Unless, you can't actually do... I mean, like...
You can. You can do whatever you want, as long as you don't claim it's deraisa.
I've made your side of the argument many times to... I've tried to... I've encountered a lot of rabbinic dead ends, trying to argue with the makas mardus for things. But along this,
have people told you that Beit Din decides?
Rabbi Weider and I have I've tried bringing this up to Rabbi Weider four or five times, trying to argue.
And he says you can't do this because it's Lo Yosef.
Something along those lines. I'm not fully sure. Understand the position that I'm currently arguing for.
I'd have to know have to know the argument. I don't know. Yeah, sure. Do you have a question?
Malkut Marduk sits on a lot of historical precedent.
I think we always give Beit Din enormous discretion.
Beit Din did it for 2,000 years.
Okay, so that's...
So, I mean, I guess that's why I'm asking. In other words, if we could just, by rabbinic fiat, take obviate any need for the Malkus to happen. I find Malkus Martius to be a fairly compelling.
Yeah, no, I think that's. I think we would do it if necessary.
This came up in the context, by the way, when we were talking about the IVD. We were talking about the IVD's Zachin Me'adam.
Yeah.
Get. So, presented a parallel tshuva. I think it was Repenk. I think it was Repenk. That the raya that it doesn't work to do, I don't know, to do Zachin Me'adam or something like that, is that we would never ever force any man to give a get if we could just. If we could just do zechia from it.
Right, that's true, and that's obviously true. So obviously you can't do zechia in all cases. All that proves is you can't do zechia in all cases. Doesn't prove that there aren't cases where you can't do zechia.
Okay. I guess
Right. So if the argument is the fact that he's an aguna, that she's an aguna, means we can do zechia from the husband. So yeah, that's right. That's along the lines of David's argument. It's too good. But it doesn't mean there isn't a narrow set of cases where you can do it. And the truth is, I mean, this is what Winter of Beit Midrash last year, Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin did this.
I'm sorry?
Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin did do Zechia Me'ha'ish in a series of cases.
Is this in Warsaw?
He did it for cross. I mean, to me, the smoking gun at the end of the Winter of Beit Midrash to prove that he really meant. You could watch how it moves from being a sniff to being a stronger sniff. To finally being the fundamental basis of the Heter over a space of 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But the smoking gun is the last piece in the last trivia read is a letter from Rav Simcha Zelig in Brisk. So Rav Simcha Zelig in Brisk sends a letter to Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin. Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin is now in Yerushalayim. And he says, we have here this aguna. We're in Brisk. You know that we have a Rav of the city who just won't get involved in such things. So we need you to be matir this woman. Read between the lines. There's a shtick you do called Zechia Me'ha'ish. This is a really good case for it. We need you to decide. That to me was if I'm right, it's... First of all, it's cool, all the stories you heard in Yeshiva about Rav Chaim not being... Rav Simcha Zelig was a dayan, Rav Chaim, But really, it's true. He writes to Rav Kletzkin. The Gaon of Bezdin of our city never gets involved in halacha lemaase. So I need you, and I think it's pretty clear. Rav Kletzkin does it. Rav Kletzkin does. It's entirely right that if you think that just like Afkinu, Zechia Me'ish can't work. There's a narrow set of cases in which Zechia Me'ish works according to Rav Kletzkin. You can find it convincing or not convincing. The argument that he didn't mean it, I think, is wrong. He did mean it. And the argument that Rav Mintzberg said later that he was Chozer Bo, Rav Mintzberg chepping for 20 years, writing books against him, and all of a sudden, and now claims after his death, Rav Eliyahu Kletzkin told me, I hope you'll explain to everybody your rationale for what really happened. I think Leni Ostati, the old man that I know, is Rav Mintzberg came with him, and day after day, he's an old man. He says, all right, if you think I'm wrong, go write a book. I think it's any case, but Ravina is entirely right. But again, nobody responsible argues now that Zechia Me'ish works as a panacea. Rav Kletzkin had this fascinating argument that there are times every marriage has a zika and a status. A zika is an obligation to the other party. And a status is being married. And he argued there are circumstances where the zika is broken. And the inability, and the reason you can't do zachin me'aish is because we hold stami shalav l'gerishin omedes. So we held that there were certain circumstances that when the zika is broken, then you say stami shalav l'gerishin omedes, and they don't need the same din lishma, and that's why you can use zachia. So you can buy that or not buy that, but it's not fair to say that the reason to oppose.
Right, but I'm not saying that you all. Right, but I mean the fact that Like, you can't use like the fact that Beis Din were kofet people to give gittin as a statement that zechiyah me'ha'ish can never work. That's all I'm saying.
Right? Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. I'm not
right.
saying
which is the way I guess you're arguing to me, right? Or it's in other words similarly. That you can use makas marjus for a lot of things. And
yeah.
Has, like,
but I think the interesting thing about Rav Moshe is he knows it doesn't work. And he's right. He knows it doesn't work, but he still wants to serve. And Gershom set it up that way, and we're stuck. That we have to allow women to blackmail men the same way that men can blackmail women, because even though we could solve one side of the equation but not the other, and this ties into the question of not signing Hetamei Rabbanim, right? Because you might think that why should we allow one injustice to do right? This is a really fair question, right? Would you rather? Because you often have complaints about Hetamei Rabbanim. That's not fair. It gets the man out of it, but not the woman. But okay, so why should we have injustice both ways? Let's have only half an injustice, right? Half an injustice is better than one. But so Rav Moshe here in this place says no, right? And he thinks that the halacha is that that two injustices are better than one, because that's the Tekanah of Rabbeinu Gershom. Now, do you think he did this because he was stuck, or do you think he did this because he really thought it was true? It was the right underlying rationale, and so the only interesting thing about that is that it's not really a great reading of the Rush.
It's a very creative reading. No, it's plucked. It's plucked out of its context.
So you didn't have to, right? So you didn't have to say it. Okay, since we're
it also makes the case that the Rush's usage is a descriptive. It's a descriptive statement of what the Chayyim did, whereas Rav Moshe's is prescriptive. That we use the idea of tikin l'hashavos koach ha'ish l'koach ha'ish, right? That we use that to govern, I guess, what the contours of that look like, as opposed to
the underlying rationale, right? The Rush is trying to get out of it, right? Somebody's making an argument that he thinks is ridiculous because it makes the woman more strong, and he says, look, even though the Rush created a certain amount of equality, he didn't intend to give women more power. And Rav Moshe, right, the Rush uses it as a ceiling, right, for another way, right, Rav Moshe treats it as an absolute. Okay, let's skip, because I think we only have 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
Let's skip to page 40. Okay. Actually, no, let's see if we can do 39 also. Let's go to page 39.
Is this chit actually this short, or are you cutting some of it out?
These are. I put dot dot dots in when I excerpt. Okay, so 5737, right? So now we're in 1977. Rav Moshe says, in the case of lekichat isha al ishto shehocha mimenu, below hetem mirabanim kisheshneim einam shomrei Torah. Right. So he says you have two non-frum people, and right, and one of them wants a heter to remarry without a hetem mirabanim. So Rav Moshe's first instinct he has that matters to us is, the paragraph being diharei, about 12 lines up, 15 lines up. He says diharei, kevan she'enam shomrei Torah. Right, what will happen is because they're not from, harei kishul yizdaku lo bezin latiro. When if the bezin doesn't matter it, yisa isha blo heter, then he's going to get married again without a heter. But zinase gam ishto la'acher beisur, then his wife will get remarried too. If we don't give them a heter, then they're both going to get remarried without a get. Okay, so we have to pay attention to these people. Really, we should just send them off, because they're not from and they're not part of our constituency. But we're stuck because we're going to lead. And he says we could require hetamei rabbanim, but you know what? This man's not going to bother with a hetamei rabbanim. He won't do it. Now he'd say, you know what? But we want to have to marry Rabbanim because we want them to get back together. They're not usher to each other. They just want to get divorced. So let's have to marry Rabbanim. So by all the instincts, we should say this is a case where Rabbeinu Hetzer Megershom applies, and we're not even interested necessarily, right, not in the matter. But he says because they're not from, they're going to go off and they're going to have kids, and their kids are going to be part of our community, and they're going to be Mazarim. Therefore, he says, Harehu... So he says, "Harehu takana tovela rabim, shelo yu mamzerim, kivada yesh litlos kilav lo savral isra ishri nasi bloget acharesh biyada lelech la bezin lekav loget mushlash avaras. What does he do? He says, we're going to be matir him, but we're going to create a new ground. And the new ground is that he has to give leave a get in Bezdin for her to pick up whatever she wants. Not a zikui. But he actually has to leave the get. Why? Because this is our base. Now he says, okay, so what should really happen? He says, what should really happen here is we should require a Meirabanim. What's going to happen if we require a Meirabanim? We're going to, right, he's going to go off and remarry, she's going to go off and remarry, and we're going to have Mamzerin. So we're going to solve the problem of Meir Abanim by requiring him to leave a get for her to get divorced whenever she wants. And Lechora, in those circumstances, she will eventually take the get before she comes to get remarried. Aye, but she wants to blackmail him. We won't let him blackmail it. We won't let her blackmail him. What we're going to do is we're going to say, because we're preventing Mamzerim, that's a Tzorech Rabim. And guess what? When there's a real Tzorech Rabim Matir, Rabbeinu Gershom didn't make his special takana, we need 100 rabbis. So Rav Meisha invents a whole new mechanism.
I feel like that's so easily abused, though. That whole mechanism. Because now you can just have a guy who's like, I don't feel like I'm going to have to marry Rabbanim. And, you know, kind of threaten, like, I'll just get married anyway. And then... now we want to prevent Mamzeri first.
So he can get married, but he has to give his wife the capacity to divorce. That's Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe changes the standard, right? That we, right nowadays in a non-from world.
I feel like we could use that just like in any case that we feel like now.
Whenever, any case to do what?
Like whenever a guy, man, like basically now what we're doing is we're just giving men, I feel like we're just giving men two options now instead of, like, in any case, instead of saying you have to do Heter Meir Rabbanim, it's you can do Heter Meir Rabbanim or write again, leave it in Beit Din, and like apply that broadly.
That's essentially right. That's essentially right. Rav Moshe ends up saying that, you know,
so we're really like lowering the bar on the man's side of what he's required to do.
Absolutely.
In the case where the couple's not from.
No, but I mean, but that's my point, is that his reasoning isn't because the couple isn't from.
Well, his reasoning is because of Tzorech Rabbim.
Yeah, which is because
they're not from, and she will get married to someone without.
But let's say she says, "I don't care." She is from, but she's like, "Okay, I'm going to get married anyway." Like that still comes up to the same sort of problem.
Yeah.
So Rav Moshe, right? So if you at the end, the reason
you mean the actual.
Well, what if
from
she's
part?
Following a Beit Din that you disagree with?
I don't know how
with.
From she is if she's getting married without a get.
But we're a copper. What if she's following a Beit Din that you disagree with?
Yeah. So.
According to this Rav Moshe, you should write her a get and do it with Beit Din that she can pick it up from.
Yeah. Rav Moshe seems to think that the right solution nowadays is if the man wants to be free, the woman is blackmailing him, so you have to free him and you have to make sure that you're not punishing her. So the solution is we're not going to require Meir Rabbanim because otherwise he's going to go off. And you're gonna make him write a get so that she's not gonna be free, and basically we end up with no fault divorce.
From the man's side.
Right, on the basis of this whole new mechanism, right, of being mashlish a get.
This isn't a real divorce though.
No. Why not?
Until she accepts it.
But his logic is that the only reason she's refusing the get is because she wants to, right? Is because she wants to blackmail him, or because she wants to be cruel. He suggests, you know, maybe, and it, reading the truth as a whole, it's worth reading because he mentions the possibility of domestic abuse, right? Women have good reasons, even if they can't prove it in court, for doing it. So the answer is okay, right? But we're not going to allow blackmail. You went to civil court anyway, so he can't be mugging you. You can't be mugging him, and he solves the whole problem that way. Okay, last shiva just to wrap it up. It's just but he says the Rav Moshe moves it into Yisur lahatir chirin bin agershem or agola below hashloshas get kasher afilu miyesh labal tefilas mamon halaisha. So Rav Moshe, right, from suggesting this mechanism, Rav Moshe has now moved, right, it now tells you, I don't know if it's moving or not, because I don't know if it's diachronic or synagogue, it tells you he can't imagine a circumstance in which you would be matir remarriage, in which you wouldn't have this mechanism of leaving the get for the wife.
And this is 2 years ago.
Yeah. Remember that in the Rishonim we're talking about Teshev Vitis Agein Kol Yemeha, Kedei, right, Kedei Shedivaserna Kol Hanashim. So Rav Moshe says, Hinei kvar mefursam, this is a public proclamation. Hinei kvar mefursam dati, everyone already knows. Sheheter de mei rabbanim ach bimoridis, that the heter mei rabbanim, right, even if the woman is moridit, it's her fault. Who dafke bashloshes get kasher, asher becholzman shetirsa isha the kabel get, to chal lavo the kabel get v'dios miteris la'alma. And now here's the important one. Afilu im yesh laba'al aleha tvios mamon. You might say, look, she owes him money. So at the very least, he shouldn't be, right, he shouldn't have to get to divorce her until she pays him the money. Right? So let's free him because she's blackmailing him and she owes him money. At least make her pay him the money before, right? Let's get rid of the blackmail and hold her hostage until she pays him the money. No. The Moshe says, even if he has tainus, because ki chas v'shalom, Shagon Rabbeinu Gershom or Agola Yitaken Davar Takala La'Gain Bas Yisrael Ezo Shehi. Now, hold on a second. Rabbeinu Gershom is going to create a Takala? Takana? Takala? Rabbeinu Gershom, right, is the one who's creating the whole issue. Right, before Rabbeinu Gershom, right, he could just remarry somebody else. So how is he creating, making her an Aguna? Because there are two Takanas. One creates the issur of being of marrying two women, and a second one is mati, right. A second one in the case of dvar mitzvah is right. It requires mei rabbanim. So somehow Rav Moshe turns this into that Rabbi Gershom Magala wouldn't have created the heter of tzitzil, right. So he's calling that there's a gzera that asters remarriage under double bigamy in all circumstances, and then there's Rabbi Gershom says, but there's a way out. There's no way Rav Moshe would have allowed that heter that way out to lead to agunos.
I feel like Rav Moshe is sort of just getting rid of heter mei rabbanim altogether, and he's saying like, forget about heter mei rabbanim, just use this get mishulash kesh.
Pretty much.
But he presents it as don't use heter mei rabbanim without
even,
the get mishulash.
Yeah, because he understands
right, in the
that
previous tshuva,
he didn't need the heter mei rabbanim. He got right. So in the end, Rav Moshe understands the heter mei rabbanim. I think possible. Moshe understood Heter Mei Rabbanim was often being used by Batei Din as a way when husbands and wives had. So let's put it very fundamentally this way. There's no question that in Haredi Batei Din, on the whole, prior to the 90s, let's say at least, women got much more in court than they did in Besin. That created a counterclaim that husbands could be ma'agim their wives because their wives were thieves, because they had taken more in Besin than they earned by their ketubah. And the argument was if women refused to accept a get in the aftermath of the civil court, or better yet, the husbands should be able to refuse to give the wife a get in the aftermath of the civil divorce because she took money. She took his money. Rav Moshe comes along and says, no, there's no circumstance under which you should allow the man to remarry where the woman cannot remarry also. And all the other issues have to be settled, right? All the other issues have to be settled separately from the marriage. And so one of the techniques people used was to claim that a woman was refusing a get because the husband would only give her the get if she gave back the money, the extra money she had gotten in the civil divorce. So now she's the refuser. Right? And now let's write him a heter mei rabbanim. And we're home free. Rav Moshe said, no, you can't write a heter mei rabbanim. That still gives him power over. This is the Lani Kin case. Which is the Four Salma Press, right, where a Beit Din got together for the sole purpose of writing Heter Mei Rabbanim for the husband. And
the what case?
Lani Kin, right? That's a mayor in Lani Kin. It was a famous case where he was remarried by somebody or other or something.
Wait, is Lani Kin like nowadays-ish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A
couple years ago. Oh, okay. So Rav Moshe is not about the Lani Kin case.
No.
The Lani Kin case is directly similar to these cases, yes. Which were right, scummy so and scuzzy.
I get what I'm saying. Scummy or scuzzy, I'm not saying. I'm just telling you that was the reality. Was that there was a popular position that held that in circumstances like that, the husband was the aguna. The husband was the agun because the wife was refusing to take the get unless she got more money than she deserved. So let's write a heter mei rabbanim to the husband, and now he can blackmail the wife because he's free and she isn't, and we will restore equity. And Rav Moshe says you can't do that. Right, that even a heter mei rabbanim with all the right can't be done without making sure that the end of the woman is free also. Now he doesn't tell you in this grounds what his policy grounds are, other than his language that how could it possibly be that Rabbeinu Gershon would build a mechanism into halacha that would allow the husband to blackmail the wife?
Oh, and so when he said Rabbeinu Gershon, he means the Hetzer Rabbani.
Yes. Okay, that's my first draft of the thing. Thank you guys so much for hanging around, and always a joy.
Mazel tov.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.